Let's turn to John chapter 4, starting with verse 43. Two miracles, a confrontation over the Sabbath, the first four claims of Yeshua. And Donald, I saw some real parallels between the rejection of Moses, grumbling and complaining about his leadership, and the rejection of Yeshua that we will see here. Yeshua had been in the Judean countryside. News reached him that the Pharisees, who were very influential, religiously and politically, knew that Yeshua was becoming more popular than John the Baptist. And John was immensely popular. The leadership of the Pharisees did not like Yeshua. And learning about Yeshua's growing popularity intensified their dislike of the young rabbi. And so, perhaps to avoid a confrontation with the Pharisees, Yeshua left Judea, which was close to the center of the power of the Pharisees, and he headed north to Galilee. Verse 43, after the 2 days with the Samaritans of Sychar, who during that time came to believe that Yeshua was the Messiah and the Savior of the world, after the 2 days, he left for Galilee, where he was raised and where his home was. Now, Yeshua himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. That's interesting. John is letting us know that the Samaritans, who were not Israelis, honored Yeshua, but those Jewish people from his own area, who should have known him the best and honored him the most, did not honor him. A prophet has no honor in his own country. And Yeshua knew that he would not be honored by those closest to him. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover holiday, for they had also been there. Yes, they welcomed Yeshua, but it was only a shallow kind of welcome, a shallow kind of acceptance. Someone observed, a short-lived, superficial acceptance is not the same as an informed, long-term commitment. A short-lived superficial acceptance is not the same as an informed long-term commitment. Once more, Yeshua visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official, a man who served King Herod, whose son lay sick at Capernaum, which is about 16 miles away from Cana, which is about a day's journey. So Yeshua's in Cana. There is the son of a royal official who was sick at Capernaum about 16 miles away. When this man, the royal official, heard that Yeshua had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to Yeshua and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. One of the very worst things a parent can experience is the death of a child. A parent will do almost anything to prevent their child from dying. This royal official heard that the young rabbi from Nazareth had returned from the south to the area. He most likely also heard that Yeshua was doing miracles. And he thought that if only he could get Yeshua to come to Capernaum, where his dying child was, Yeshua would be able to heal the dying child. While this royal official may have been able to have Yeshua summoned to Capernaum, or even forcibly escorted there, instead of doing that, he traveled to where Yeshua was and begged him for his help. That reveals that he had respect for the young miracle-working rabbi, and the royal official also had some humility by going to Yeshua, and no doubt he had desperation as well. Yeshua's response to his pleas were not entirely positive. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Yeshua told him, "you will never believe." I think it's likely that the royal official was not the only person present with Yeshua when Yeshua said these words. Yeshua's response seems to have been directed to others who were there, others who may have been hoping to see a miracle. "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe." There are various reasons to have faith in Yeshua. Experiencing a miracle is one reason to believe in him, but it's not the best reason. Experiencing a miracle does not automatically create enduring faith. Many people saw Yeshua do miracles, but only had a shallow faith in him and later fell away. Yeshua said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Yeshua wants us to have that "have not seen and yet have believed" kind of faith in him that is not dependent on seeing a miracle or experiencing a miracle. The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies. Go with me to Capernaum before my child dies." He expressed his belief that Yeshua urgently needed to come with him to Capernaum to heal his child, or the child would not survive. After all, weren't most of the miraculous healings done by the prophets of Israel, and there weren't many miraculous healings that are recorded for us, but of those that are recorded for us, weren't those miraculous healings primarily done by someone who was in very close proximity to the one who was healed? Yeshua needed to go to Capernaum to heal his son, needed to be there. Yeshua was willing to heal the child, but he also knew that it was not necessary for him to go to Capernaum and be in the presence of the child for the child to be healed. Yeshua was very close to God, and the Spirit of God is present everywhere. Yeshua knew he did not need to travel to Capernaum for a miracle to happen. "Go," Yeshua replied, "your son will live." While the official may initially have been angry at these words, upset, disappointed that Yeshua refused to go with him, God gave the official the grace to trust Yeshua. John tells us that the man took Yeshua at his word and departed. He believed the word Yeshua spoke to him. And when we believe everything Yeshua has spoken to us, great things are able to take place. While he was still on the way, heading back toward Capernaum to his sick child, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. This is fantastic. What relief, what joy this man must have experienced at that moment. His child was well. And he was an intelligent man who had an inquiring mind. He wanted to know when the healing took place. I think most likely to determine if there was a connection with the healing to Yeshua. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Yeshua had said to him, "Your son will live." It was clear to the official by the precise timing of the miracle that Yeshua was indeed connected to his son's recovery. So he and his whole household believed. They became loyal to Yeshua from that time forward. John tells us this was the second sign Yeshua performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. This second sign reveals that God the Father can use Yeshua to heal, that Yeshua is the great healer, that he can heal us from all of the terrible consequences of the fall of man, that Yeshua can heal us physically, and Yeshua can heal us spiritually, and that a day is coming when Yeshua will heal the faithful remnant of humanity who believe in him, and he will heal this entire world. And this sign reveals that God's ability to work through Yeshua is not limited by distance. Yeshua does not have to be physically present for the miraculous to take place. He can be in Cana, and a child can be healed in Capernaum. He could be at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, where he is right now, and a person can be healed physically or spiritually anywhere on earth. Amen? John continues, "Sometime later, Yeshua went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holidays. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which means either House of Olives or more likely House of Mercy, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And they lay there by the pool because when the water of the pool stirred, miraculous healing was given to the first one who got in the water." What a cool thing the God of Israel did for his people. I am sure that no other nation on earth had a pool like this where healing miracles happened. "Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. That's a long time to be an invalid, disabled, unable to walk, unable to do most work, unable to support a family, dependent on others. When Yeshua saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, Yeshua asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Notice that Yeshua took the initiative. He's the one that noticed this man, inquired about his condition, went to him, and asked if he wanted to be restored to health. Yeshua took the initiative. Maybe he asked him if he wanted to get well because some people get used to being disabled and enjoy being taken care of, and they really don't want to get better. But the man did want to get better. However, he lacked the ability to get in the water at the right time. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. But God is able to work through Yeshua in a much greater way than he worked through that pool. Then Yeshua said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." No pool, no getting into the water, no stirring of the water, just a word from Yeshua. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And the invalid was miraculously healed, immediately healed, instantaneously healed, and immediately restored to full normal functionality. He immediately was able to walk after not being able to walk for 38 years. That is amazing. That is fantastic. That is a miracle. Praise be to God and praise be to Yeshua, through whom the Father could do such an amazing thing. But not everyone would be happy at this fantastic occurrence. Here's why. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It's Shabbat. The law forbids you to carry your mat." So Yeshua healed the disabled individual, tells him to pick up his mat and walk. The man picks up his mat and walks. The Jewish leaders spot a man daring to carry a mat on the Sabbath. They confront him. They tell him that the law forbids him to carry that mat. He is violating the Sabbath. But the reality is that no law in the Sinai covenant forbids carrying a mat on the Sabbath. The law does forbid working on the Sabbath, but carrying a mat is not work. Not carrying a mat on the Sabbath was a legalistic extrapolation, interpretation of what it means to not work on the Sabbath. Many people, when they're in trouble, try to get out of this trouble by shifting the blame to others. Looks to me like that's what this man did here. But he replied to the Jewish leaders, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" The man explained to the authorities that he had been miraculously healed by someone else. And after he was healed, the one who healed him told him to carry the mat. And if so, if there was anyone to blame, it was the man who told him to carry the mat. So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up the mat and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, because Yeshua had slipped away into the crowd that was there. The man did not know the identity of the one who healed him. I love this about Yeshua, that he did not heal people to call attention to himself or to impress a crowd. He did miracles of healing for the benefit of hurting people. Isn't that like God, who is constantly doing so much for people, graciously helping humanity in so many ways without demanding he be acknowledged, even though he should be acknowledged? John recorded a second encounter between Yeshua and this man, this time at the temple. Later, Yeshua found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Yeshua warned the man not to use his restored health to engage in bad behavior, evil behavior, sinning, or God might allow something worse to happen to him. While not all sickness or illness or disabilities are the result, the direct result of our sins, some may be. God may allow an illness, a sickness, a disability to happen to us, to punish us, or to discipline somebody who is sinning. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. After the second encounter at the temple, the man knew the identity of the one who healed him. And he went back and he informed the authorities. John tells us the man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Yeshua who had made him well. Somehow I just don't like this guy. Most of the leaders had already decided that they did not like Yeshua and rejected his spiritual authority. Healing a man on the Sabbath and then telling him to carry a mat was, according to their understanding of the Torah, a violation of the command against working on the Sabbath. Violating the Sabbath and encouraging others to violate it gave them a way to persecute Yeshua. John tells us, so because Yeshua was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. Their understanding of key elements of the Torah was flawed, and they were so far from God that they were unable to recognize the Son of God who is doing miracles that helped the chosen people. And so they wound up rejecting and opposing the Messiah whom God had sent. How very sad, how very tragic, how very foolish. Yeshua was now under attack by the leaders. To defend himself, he clarified who he is and why he did what he did. In his defense, Yeshua made some absolutely amazing, astounding claims about himself. We'll begin the first four claims that Yeshua made about himself this morning, but we won't be able to finish this whole section. Many people have made claims about themselves. I'm the smartest. I'm the brightest. I understand the truth better than anyone else. I'm enlightened. I have discovered secret knowledge. I'm a messenger of God. I'm a prophet of God. I'm the Messiah. Many people over the centuries in various cultures have made claims about themselves. What makes Yeshua's claims about himself so very special is that they are true. And they give us some of the very clearest revelation of who Yeshua is. Yeshua's first claim, the law about not working on the Sabbath, didn't apply to him because he does what God the Father does. In his defense, Yeshua said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, And I too am working. What Yeshua claimed here is astounding. From the beginning of creation, God has always been working, and he has been active on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, God is sustaining the universe. God is ruling over the universe. He is watching over the world and its inhabitants and helping the world and its people. And he does that on Shabbat. Can you imagine what would happen if God ceased all his work on the Sabbath? I think there's a possibility that the universe might not be sustained. It might cease to exist. It would not be ruled by God for 24 hours. It might become chaotic and unlivable during that 24-hour period. For 24 hours, human beings would not be given any divine help because God would cease from all activity to help human beings. God works on the Sabbath. Yeshua claimed that the command about not working on the Sabbath didn't apply to him because just as God the Father works on the Sabbath, so does Yeshua. Because he is the unique Son of God who shares the same divine nature and the same divine authority as God the Father. Wow. This is an astounding claim. The Jewish leaders understood this claim. And their hatred of Yeshua, their rejection of Yeshua intensified even more to the point that they now wanted to kill him. John tells us for this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, according to their understanding of breaking the Sabbath, and their understanding was wrong. So in their mind, he was breaking the Sabbath, and he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. And the leaders were right that Yeshua was claiming to be equal to God the Father in nature and in authority. Yeshua is equal to God the Father in nature because the Father and the Son share the same divine nature. The Son is divine, fully God, fully deity, eternal, uncreated, sharing all the attributes of God. And the Son is equal to the Father in authority over everything that exists. The Son rules with the Father over the universe and everything in it, over all created beings, over all forces. The Son is equal to the Father in authority over the creation and over all created things and over all created forces. But the Son is inferior to the Father in authority within the Trinity. Just as a human father is superior to his child in authority, so God the Father is superior to the Son in authority within the Trinity. The Father sits on the main throne of heaven. The Son sits at the Father's right hand. The Father commands the Son, and the Son obeys the command. Never the other way around. The Father is superior to the Son in authority within the Trinity. So, did these Jewish leaders really want to oppose someone who was greater than the Sabbath? because he is equal to God in nature and in authority. Did they really want to oppose him and persecute him and kill him? Often when a man is in a confrontation, and the confrontation is escalating, he will back down. Not Yeshua. He never backed down. Ever. Yeshua's second claim about himself. He never operated on his own. He was always being directed by God the Father. Yeshua gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows the Son everything he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these so that you will be amazed. What's Yeshua saying? The best human beings see through a glass darkly. Yeshua claimed, unlike the rest of humanity, to have a view of God that was perfectly clear, unobstructed by sin. He was able to see what God the Father was doing all the time. And like a good son, he imitated what he saw his father doing. Yeshua claimed that he was not operating on his own. Everything he did was being directed by God the Father. So if he healed a man on the Sabbath, it was because God showed him that that's what he wanted Yeshua to do. The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. There is perfect love and trust between the Father and the Son. Because the Father has that kind of love and trust for Yeshua, God the Father shares all of his plans with Yeshua. And the Son faithfully carries out all of those plans. Therefore, to oppose Yeshua, who is loved and trusted by God, and who is carrying out all the plans of God, who is never operating independently from God, is to oppose God, and to oppose the plans of God. Did these Jewish leaders really want to oppose God and the plans of God? Yeshua's third claim, he's going to do even greater things, like raising people from the dead and giving them eternal life. The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. The Father had shown Yeshua a number of miracles, enabling Yeshua to do miracles he wanted Yeshua to do, including the Sabbath healing of the invalid by the pool of Bethesda. While these miracles were impressive, Yeshua claimed that God was going to allow him to do things which were much greater and much more amazing than these miracles. Just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give that life. In the future, God the Father will raise the dead and restore them to life. Yeshua claimed to have the same kind of authority and the same kind of ability to resurrect the dead and give life to the people who please him. Who are the people who please him? They certainly include those who believe in him and who are loyal to him. Yeshua is claiming that along with God the Father, he will share the responsibility for resurrecting mankind and giving life to those who please him. Did these leaders not want to please Yeshua so that he would resurrect them and give them life? Yeshua's fourth claim, the last one that we'll cover this morning. After the resurrection comes judgment. Yeshua alone will be the judge on the day of judgment. Moreover, Yeshua said, the Father judges no one, but he has entrusted all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. A day is coming when every human being will be judged. On the day of judgment, each man, each woman will give an account of their lives on earth, and they will be rewarded or punished. They will be sent to hell or allowed to live forever in the kingdom of God. The one before whom every human being will appear for judgment, not God the Father, but God the Son, Yeshua. The judgment of mankind is a responsibility given exclusively to Yeshua. Judges are entrusted with tremendous responsibility. They make decisions that involve reward and punishment, life and death. Therefore, judges are honored. They should especially be honored by those who are appearing before them. Yeshua claimed that the Father will allow him to judge mankind so that he, Yeshua, will receive the same kind of honor reserved for God the Father. Did these leaders want to dishonor the one who will be their judge on the day of judgment, the one God insists all of humanity must honor? And the opposite is true. Yeshua said, whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. We want those we delegate to accomplish an important task to be respected. If we send someone to do a task and they're not respected, it's an insult to the one who sent them. Yeshua claimed that God the Father sent him to earth to accomplish something very important. Therefore, to dishonor Yeshua is to dishonor the Father who sent him. Did these Jewish leaders really want to dishonor God who sent Yeshua to accomplish his great task? These are the first four claims of Yeshua about himself. They are amazing. They are profound. And they are true. Lord willing, we will consider the rest of Yeshua's claims about himself next week. I want to encourage everyone to read John chapter 5 several times between now and next Shabbat. Read John chapter 5, focusing on the claims of Yeshua. Meditate on what Yeshua is saying about himself. Let it sink in. Think about it. Turn it over and over in your mind. So, who is Yeshua according to the last part of chapter 4 and the first part of chapter 5 of this divinely inspired book of John? Yeshua is the great healer. He can heal all of us from the terrible consequences that resulted from the fall of man. Yeshua can heal us physically, and he can heal us spiritually. And a day is coming when Yeshua will heal the faithful remnant of humanity, and he will heal this entire world. And Yeshua does not have to be physically present for a miracle or a healing to take place. From where he is right now at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, a person can be healed physically or spiritually anywhere on earth. Do you want physical or spiritual healing? Do you want to be perfectly and eternally healed one day? You need Yeshua. Humanity is like the invalid by the pool of Bethesda, disabled for a long time and in desperate need of a miracle. Do you want to be made well? Live a fully functional life, the kind of life that God designed you to live. You need Yeshua. Yeshua claimed that the command about not working on the Sabbath did not apply to him, because just as God works on the Sabbath, so does Yeshua, because he shares the same divine nature and the same divine authority as God the Father. Do you want to oppose someone who is equal to God in nature and in authority? No? Then you better be loyal to Yeshua. Yeshua claimed to have a view of God that was unobstructed by sin and that he never operates on his own. Everything he does is directed by God the Father. Therefore, to oppose him, who is loved by God and is carrying out the plans of God, is to oppose God. Do you want to oppose God? You had better trust Yeshua. Yeshua claimed to have the same kind of authority and ability to raise the dead and give life to the people who please him, as does God the Father. Do you want Yeshua to resurrect you and give you life, eternal life, everlasting life? Then please him by becoming one of his loyal followers. Yeshua claimed that he will be the judge of mankind on the day of judgment, so that he will receive the same kind of honor that is reserved for God the Father. Do you want to dishonor the one who will be your judge on the day of judgment, the one God insists all of humanity honor? No? Then you better honor Yeshua. Yeshua is so special. He is so important. May we, and may our Christian and Messianic Jewish brothers and sisters everywhere, be loyal to him. May we be focused on him. May we be keenly aware of him, close to him, filled with his Spirit, receiving power from him, learning from him, being directed by him. Amen. And may we be passionate about him and faithful to carry on his mission of evangelism, teaching, and good deeds. Amen. Ushers, could you come up and get ready to serve Aruchat?